WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary, Lisa Nichols, and Shea Spillane with you tonight until 9 o'clock. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. 855-915-WMFO. Write those numbers down. Dial them into your phone. Give us a call. We love to hear from our listeners. Coming up later tonight, Donald Trump talks to the United Nations and threatens everybody.
In glorious fashion.
Pretty much what happens. He just threatens everybody. Shrug. World is coming to an end. His finger is on the button. Nukes are flying. Maybe not.
Yeah.
We'll get into it. We'll see what he actually said.
Something's lying. Perhaps it's a word we can't say on the radio.
Yeah, we'll figure out what he said and what he means and whether or not we should even bother planning for Christmas is, I think, what we're looking at this point. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. We haven't all been together for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're not going to be all together for a while because I'm stupid. Okay? I am a complete idiot because I bought, bought Roger Waters tickets like a year ago. Those things went on sale.
Segment, Lisa. Yeah.
Right? They went on sale a year ago. And the whole time I'm sitting there, I'm like, I got the tickets for the 27th, so I can't do the show that night. And then yesterday, I get the thing from Ticketmaster that says, hey, don't forget to print your tickets. And it's like September 28th.
And what happened a couple weeks ago when we went to Lady Gaga and I said, you know what? I have the opportunity to still have my Roger Waters tickets, but I shouldn't miss a show because I missed a whole month.
Yeah.
And you said, well, I'm going on Wednesday. So I said, you know what? I'll go.
I said, hey, I'm going on Wednesday. There's no show that night. Grab the tickets.
Well,
let's go.
Well, you know what? I'm going Wednesday, so I will not be here next week.
So Lisa Nichols will be at Roger Waters next Wednesday. I'll be at Roger Waters next Thursday, if I live that long. Because
which we never know.
The next
it's
seven...
distinctly possible that you won't.
The next 7 days for me are out of control. Totally and completely out of control. Like, you would not believe how much stuff I got going on.
Yeah.
Including...
Those Patriots games are real tough.
Yeah, including my 30th high school reunion the night before
Your car
a Patriots
really
game.
Needs
to
be washed.
Yeah.
So there's going to be copious amounts of alcohol Saturday, and then tell them we're due what? At it's a 1 o'clock game.
Yeah.
So I believe you and your band of boys that go to the game will start drinking the tell them we're due.
Nine.
Chasing it with the raspberries, which I learned from you.
Boozeberries.
Actually disgusting.
You do a shot of Tullamore Dew and then you eat a fresh raspberry.
I think it's just an excuse for you guys to feel like you're being healthy and you're like, I got my fruit intake.
Yeah, well,
that was my immediate reaction. It's just like you're trying to make doing something
chasing,
ridiculous cool.
Tullamore Dew.
We're getting a little bit
makes
of...
it go down easy.
We're getting a little bit of, you know, fiber, a little, you know, fruit juice goodness in our bodies.
That, so you can poop out the Tullamore Dew later?
That never happens.
Apparently.
Everything else we do
if
has
Derek
the effect
drinks
of
enough, it will
your
just
stomach.
Come out the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's I had a client that wanted to have a meeting on Monday, and I'm like, no, can we move that to Tuesday?
Yeah.
You do not want me driving to Providence on Monday because I'm going to need 3 days to recover, and I got to try and get it down to one.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, in good news, it's going to be beautiful on Sunday, so you don't have to worry yet about those cold Patriots games yet. So you're good.
Yeah, no, this is the best time of year to go as long as it doesn't rain, and I don't think we have any rain in the forecast. Big win.
We do not.
So
true.
That's a huge plus. All right, we got the thing with the thing with the news, and yeah.
And the talking about.
Yeah, we do that. What's going on in the world?
Well, in local news, a man charged with grabbing three teenage girls walking to school in Worcester has been found mentally incompetent to stand trial. Yesterday, a judge ruled that 24-year-old Freddie Cruz was incompetent and sent him to a mental health facility for a 40-day observation. Cruz is charged with two counts of kidnapping a child, two counts of assault and battery, and one count of enticing a child under 16. Police say he tried to abduct two 15-year-old girls and one 14-year-old girl on the same day in April 2016. All three girls fought him off. He was arrested the following day with a backpack containing pliers, rope, duct tape, a pocket knife, and a drill. His lawyer says he denies the charges.
Where's this, Worcester?
Yeah, of course it was Worcester.
Yeah.
Worcester's on the up and up, may I say.
It's still the Florida.
No, but you know what?
Actually,
no, no,
that's
Springfield.
Springfield.
Yeah, anything
Florida,
Athol, way out there, you know, near the Northampton area, that's your Florida. It doesn't matter if it's Worcester, Boston, we're talking about Danvers, Peabody, whatever. This is, you know, somebody that needs to be taken off the streets. We're not just talking about an attempt to take down one child, but multiple children on their walks to school. A perfect...
What should be the safest thing you do?
But really not. I mean, you have these children that you think as a parent... You know, you let your kids, even if we're talking about a half a mile down the road, that they're walking to school, because it's actually put in, you're not allowed to get bus unless you're, I believe it's two miles away from the school. So in some cases, you know, you have the parents go to work a little bit earlier. Kids have to walk to school, and it's a very vulnerable time for these children. Unfortunately, you have psychopaths like this that prey on children at this time. It's scary.
Aren't you going to give up and try a different tactic after the first two?
Seriously.
Fight you off?
Well, it's like, that's what, that's part
Props
of why I
kids.
Wanted to have this story be a story, was just literally to say, like, props to these chicks. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, 15 and 14-year-old girl, or I'm sorry, two 15-year-old girls and one 14-year-old girl fought off a 24-year-old.
Have you seen 14 and 15-year-old girls lately?
I was just going to say.
They're the worst. I never think anything good about them.
I mean,
but
if I was ever
this,
walking into school with my field hockey stick, somebody would have been taken down.
They're like giant beastly things. That, you know, they're all like
Oh, absolutely.
Claws
the gym
and
that
teeth
I go to in the summertime, my trainer trains high schoolers.
Yeah.
And I look at some of these girls and I'm like, I was a three-sport athlete, and I did not have that. Like,
yeah.
You are benching 135, and you're 16. That's not normal.
And the evolution gets proven once again.
It's not even that. They have way better diets and way better exercise regimens.
And no, not to... Yeah, that's true. That's the thing is, like, it used to be that smoking cigarettes was healthy.
Yeah.
And you should have roast beef 5 times a week.
Yeah, it used to be you get out of school, you get a milkshake and a bottle of soda.
Yeah,
and
my mom swears by not Fanta. What's the Fresca?
Yeah,
she swears by Fresca. She would always have Fresca and Tab.
Yeah.
When she was a teenager.
That was it. I mean, we came home and we ate snacks and we sat around and goofed off, and you know, maybe you went outside and goofed off, but we were goofing off.
Now,
these kids now are just like
goofing off.
They're constantly moving because their parents are constantly shuffling them off to some school or activity or whatever. And it's like they're in better shape than we ever were.
I think that's half of the population of children, because the other half are sitting on their DSs or some sort of video gaming system and not actually going outside. There's been so many conversations that I have with people and saying it was so much different when we were kids and moving around. But yes, I mean, you have to give props to these, you know, young girls being able to protect themselves. But I mean, we're talking about a man that was carrying pliers, rope, duct tape, a pocket knife, and a drill. What do you think his intentions are?
Amateur dentistry?
To build the sweetest treehouse ever.
Amateur dentistry. I think that's what he's going for on that. Yeah, who knows? You know, they're not... Let's start with this. If you are an adult male trying to grab teenage girls, your intentions are not good.
Yeah,
just at the outset. So, yeah. Not competent to stand trial, huh?
I mean, do you think he is? Like, it's...
Most people...
He's 24, too. Like, usually...
Yeah. Given that most people would try once...
doesn't happen until you're, like, 30.
Given that most people... No, that's not true either. Given that most people, that sort of behavior tends to manifest itself beginning around the age of 23.
But again, this story just proves...
usually people don't engage it.
This story just proves the failure of the court system. And the fact that on May 18th of this year, a grand jury handled the indictments charging this man with single counts of kidnapping and child assault. It kept going through on July 27th. Grand jury returned with additional indictments. Because this has been extenuated, because this has been taking so long in the court system, you now have a man, because he isn't fully charged with anything, he isn't charged to be put in prison, he is on the streets. So because we have a court case that is extended over, what, 7 months? We now have 3 children that were attempted to be kidnapped again.
Yeah.
I mean, essentially, this is... he's a predator.
Yeah.
and he's on the streets. And because our court system has failed us in not moving properly in this, that's a problem. I mean, we're very lucky that we have three children that were able to fend this man off.
Yeah.
But to be fair, saying he's incompetent to stand trial doesn't mean that he's going to be released. It means that he very well may be confined to a mental health facility.
We don't have those
for
anymore.
For the foreseeable
future. Remember when we used to have those? We don't have those
we
anymore.
We do still have those.
We have one, and it is so overfilled
yeah,
that they're
you,
probably going to give this guy...
Yeah, you go in for 2 months, and you get out. I mean,
yeah, they're gonna give this guy.
Talking about predating children...
Hey, guys, have you ever been on a radio show with two conservatives?
No, but this is reality. We're talking about children. We're not talking about randomly went up to a woman like an adult. We're talking about minors, people that are under the age of 18.
How does that make it any different?
There is a vast difference in...
Between, I could see if it was an 8-year-old, and I'm not trying to say it's okay
because
it's 14
and 15-year-olds.
No, in my opinion,
do I think it's better that you assault a woman that is 27 compared to 16? No, but in the court system, it is charged very differently. You have a badge on you that is held on you very differently.
Yeah, under 16.
You are going to court for a much longer time period.
Under 16, you're a sex offender. But what's going to happen? They're going to throw him, if they put him in a mental institution at all, he's in there for 2 months and they send him home with an ankle bracelet and he figures out how to take the ankle bracelet off. Or,
with his drill that
or
he has.
Or given how dumb this guy is, he just goes out with the ankle bracelet on and tries to abduct kids.
Mm-hmm. In which case, it'll be a second strike, and then one more, and he goes to jail for life.
Same thing with, like, DUIs. How many times do we see in the newspapers?
It's an imperfect system. I'm not saying it isn't. But at the same time, I mean, sometimes I honestly think, like, oh, going to jail? That doesn't sound like too bad a deal. I get 3 squares a day, even if they're mush. It's calories I need. I can work out all the time. I can go to a library and read. It doesn't sound like the worst deal.
I would spend one night in jail and then see if that statement is
that implies
exactly
that I haven't, actually.
Yeah.
I would even the most minor of jails in this area, if you go to Middlesex in Middleton, and not Middlesex, Middleton Jail.
I'm not saying I would like to go to jail. I'm merely saying that I'm not saying that having this guy go to 2 months of a mental institution is the idea that we should all hop on. And I'm not saying that him being rehabilitated is even possible. But I am saying that it's just another example of that our criminal justice system needs to be reformed.
There's jail for rehabilitation and there's jail for getting people off the streets. And this is jail for getting people off the street. You're not going to rehabilitate this guy.
Yeah.
This guy's gone.
But that's what I'm saying is that it's just another example of the fact that our we need more psychiatric facilities.
Do you want to pay for that?
If it comes out of my taxes and doesn't go towards like stupid Donald Trump stuff, then yeah, I would.
Yeah, well,
it's always going to come out of Texas.
You're in a minority on that front because most Americans decided they didn't want to pay for that. Here we are.
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, we can do the corporate side of things. Wow, this is the longest we have ever spoken about one topic, I believe. In national news, this is going to make it worse. Former President Barack Obama criticized Republican health care proposals as costly, impractical attempts to undo, quote, hard-won progress, end quote, that would cause, quote, real human suffering, end quote, at an event hosted by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation in New York City today, defending Obamacare even as GOP lawmakers make a final push to kill it. He said this upon congressional Republicans making another attempt to repeal the Affordable Care Act, Obama's trademark legislation, after narrowly failing to do so in August. However, Republicans have yet to rally around the latest plan pushed by GOP Senators Lindsey Graham and Bill Cassidy.
Did you have oral surgery before you came in tonight? Or is just...
I actually did go to the dentist today.
Oh, okay. Well, see, there we go. This is
actually laughable. I mean, the fact that you have, in a rare speech, $10 million from the Bill and Melinda Gates, you know, they're the king and queen of liberalism, foundation event in New York City. Of course, he is going to be on this parade train of look at what was so great, look what is great about Obamacare. Conservatives, Republicans, everybody's bad. This isn't going to work.
Here's the problem.
Do we expect anything differently?
Is this guy even living in the real world? Is he not paying attention to all of the states and counties where there is one choice left? Is he not paying attention to the fact that Aetna and Kaiser Permanente and Cigna and all of the big players are running away from the exchanges as fast as they can mm-hmm. because they can't make money off of it? Does he not realize that Obamacare is failing?
Mm-hmm. You're both purposely capitalizing on the fact that my crown is loose. But Obamacare is failing is, I think, a bit of an overstatement.
Go ask people in Arizona. Go ask people in South Carolina.
But it's not about whether or not it's failing. It's about whether or not they have a better solution, which they do not.
Well, they do. It's called single payer, and it was introduced by, it drives me nuts when I have to say nice things about her, and it was introduced by Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Credit where credit is due. Even a broken clock is right twice a day. That's the solution. Medicare for everybody, and let's get private insurance out of this business once and for all. Mm-hmm. Because they are creating the problem. It is well known that they're creating the problem. But, as in so many other aspects of our life in this country, the people who are creating the problem are also the people who have billions of dollars to throw around Washington to make sure they get to continue creating the problem.
No, and that's a different, you know, you have Washington, D.C. that is made up, it should be, of our administration, of people that are voted into office, and no seats should be taken by any insurance providers or healthcare providers, and that's what it is. You talk to, and to actually think that this isn't failing, you touched on a few things. You have all these massive companies that are worth billions of dollars backing out of the system. Yes, because they don't make money. You think doctors, oh, they must make millions of dollars a year. Life is really great. Yes, they do. But in many of these hospitals, they're making zero or negative dollars for surgeries because they aren't getting paid by Obamacare. And maybe a surgery that was, you know, $250,000, they're making 75 cents. That's the actual reality of what Obamacare has created.
By the way,
listeners, I purposely chose this national story because I knew that it would rile the two of these up.
I totally agree with President Obama that the Republican alternatives are bad ideas. The Republicans are just grasping at straws and trying to say, what's the most slimmed down thing we can pass that doesn't look too painful mm-hmm. that lets us walk away and say, yay, we got rid of the Affordable Care Act. And there's no answer to that question because he's right. Anything that they do along those lines is just going to throw millions of Americans back off the healthcare rolls. That is not the solution we're looking for. Obamacare is not the solution we're looking for. This is when you need a third way. And Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders are the ones giving us the third way. And a lot of Americans, including a majority of people in California, surprise, surprise, but a lot of Americans want single-payer healthcare. You know who else wants single-payer health care? The American Medical Association, because they're sick and tired of the games. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't like big government bureaucracies. I don't like government in general. Mainly, I like government when it works, but it doesn't work most of the time. I am willing to take the bureaucracy. I am willing to take the new government administration and the new entitlement if it means that we can solve this problem once and for all. Because right now, we are getting third-world health care at inflated prices. We pay more and we get less than any other industrialized nation on this planet. It's insane. And it happens, as I said, because the insurance industry is, they're not only throwing the money around down there, they write the legislation. Yep.
But that's, I mean, for two people who came out against Obama's statement, that is the whole point. Is that he was absolutely trying to band-aid a bullet wound. But he still, it was a step in the right direction. Let's put it that way.
It wasn't, though, because from day one.
But what is your solution then?
From day one, it was clear it wasn't going to work.
It's the same with, we're going to get into this later. Where it's like, okay, so do you want to talk a big talk and say you should do something else? All right,
yes.
Give me a way to do something else.
Single payer.
That's still not a solution. There are way too many people who cannot afford that.
I sat in this chair 9 years ago.
There are way too many people who cannot afford that.
And but said, in turn, everybody can afford single right payer. Now, it's Medicare. It comes out of your paycheck.
But right now, there it comes are more out of your people paycheck in the United States that can't afford it.
Paycheck Obamacare. To paycheck. I don't know if it's just been so long since you've lived paycheck to paycheck or what, but there's... It's a legitimate issue.
Everyone,
I can live comfortably.
Then you don't have health care.
Without.
There it is. Then you don't have health care.
I've seen.
Okay, so I should just die.
Yes, you should.
But
if you don't have enough money for health care, you should die.
I cannot afford Obamacare.
As opposed to what, like, hundreds of other countries have decided.
That's what we're talking about.
But how can you say something that was written, a law essentially, was written saying this is affordable. This is for everybody. Everybody's going to have it because it's affordable. Everybody and anybody.
It was never affordable.
No, it's not.
Yes, it was.
And premiums are going higher and higher because the insurance companies have a seat in Washington. They're writing the legislation. They don't want all these people that didn't sign up, Shay, you, me, not like you, Derek, who's a little bit older. It's people in their 60s, 70s.
But that's my whole point, is that it's saying, oh, Obamacare is such a failure, and it's blaming it on Obamacare. It's not blaming it on the existing insurance system that we have of these insurance companies who are taking advantage of us.
That's why Obamacare was a failure from the beginning. Because the insurance industry wrote the legislation.
My point again is that you're not going to flip it on its head in one night. Obamacare was a step in the proper direction.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't, because it moves us.
It was because it pushed the rest of America, who's just like, yeah, totally love paying Tufts. Like, oh, God. I mean, I love Tufts. You're my favorite. We're on the radio station.
It moves us no closer to a single-payer system, and that is the only way that we are going to solve this. You have to take private industry out of it. Mm-hmm. You have to take the profit motive out of it.
Well, and everybody in Washington's pockets are being lined.
What I'm saying is that it's a step in the right direction in terms of making your average citizen think about the fact that it's a possibility to move towards not having these corporations.
I don't think the average citizen thought about any of this at all. Other than the 20 million odd people who were like, I'm too poor to get health care and now the government's going to pay for it for me. They thought about it. But everybody, the great middle of the country, which could actually change things for the better, just ignored it because most people have health care through their employer. Or they
and
make
the only way you change it is if you take insurance companies out of Washington.
Yeah.
And even if you require everybody to do it, you're now bringing in people in their young 20s, which are going to bring the premiums down, not even higher, which they are now. I mean, I make good money, and I still can't afford Obamacare. It costs $2,000 a month if I were to sign up. $2,000 a month. I can get
a
studio waterfront apartment. Yes, but even people, though, that make a quarter less than me, that I know that have tried to sign up, that don't live in this state, that live in Rhode Island, that travel from Rhode Island to my job, still have to pay that amount of money. There's no big significant difference.
No.
Because it's in a large chunk.
They're doing it wrong.
I could own a vacation.
I have free Obamacare.
Obamacare, it's like under $25,000, and then it's $25,000 to like $75,000. If you're in that chunk, which a majority of Americans are, sorry, you're screwed.
I could afford a vacation home with what I pay for health insurance.
I get it through my work, and I can still afford a vacation home.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah, no, same here.
So nice to be
here. Same here. Yeah. I've got an employer-sponsored plan. I could afford a vacation home if I didn't have to make these insurance payments. It drives me up a wall. In world news, more than 225 people are dead after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake rattled Mexico City, collapsing buildings less than 2 weeks after the city was shaken by a magnitude 8.1 earthquake that occurred off the coast. More than 38 buildings completely collapsed, including a three-story school where 20 children were killed. Mexico City is particularly susceptible to earthquake damage as it sits on a dried lake bed comprised of soft soil that can turn into a liquid during strong earthquakes, a process known as liquefaction that magnifies earthquake damage. Now, if you're going to take good news out of this, this earthquake happened on the 32nd anniversary of the 1985 earthquake. 10,000 people died in that. Now you
so
put
this is an improvement.
You put 10,000 against 220, it is still incredibly tragic, but it is not calamitous on the scale that 1985 was. Earthquakes are going to happen. Mexico City is where it is because it's the easiest place to... You got a big lake bed surrounded by mountains. You can't build on the mountains, so you got to build where you build. And unfortunately, from an earthquake perspective, happens to be the worst possible place that you could build. But the results of this one show you how much progress we've made in alerting people, in providing safe locations, in improving building standards so that we don't have a calamitous amount of loss. The other side of this is two earthquakes. We've had three hurricanes. We got this tropical storm bugging us right now.
Yeah.
This has been an unprecedented month for natural disasters in the Northern Hemisphere.
But this was predicted in the sense of hurricanes. We knew it was going to be a bad year.
You didn't know you were going to get this much in this amount of time yeah, of and then course. Get the this earthquakes.
I'm losing track of the names, to be perfectly frank.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah. It's,
I keep being like, Irma, no, Jose, no, Harvey, no, rah, rah, which you kept calling Henry.
I can think of tons of hurricane seasons where we had three or four, and they sort of came in like, you know, 2 weeks apart from each other. Never a situation where everything mm-hmm. just blew in at once.
Yeah. No, and unfortunately, geographically, you know, Mexico City, it's situated on this like former lake bed. So it means obviously flat, fertile soil. If you picture, you know, like a mixing bowl with flour and just like a square
if you,
of butter
if you
on
shake
top
it,
of it.
Yeah. If you shake that soil, it actually turns into a liquid.
Yeah.
And
that
everything
sounds like something out of a cartoon.
And everything that's sitting on top of that liquid just falls into it. So now you can build in that environment, but you got to know how to do it. And they're getting better. You're never going to be 100%. This was a big earthquake, too.
But I was saying, how do you get better at building on essential quicksand?
Engineering.
Though? I mean...
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is quicksand. Engineering. You can build things on quicksand.
Just put it into the Earth's crust with poles?
No, like, you basically build things that float is the way that you do
point.
It. Because it's too... I don't know how far down the bedrock is, mm-hmm. but if you're in a dried lake bed, it's probably pretty far down.
Yeah, and it's not a likely coincidence that on the same day also of this massive earthquake, we had a volcano that erupted that was triggered by the shaking of the earthquake. You see this happen a lot in other countries, not so much here in the United States. So unfortunately, yeah. I can't pronounce Popocatépetl petal. Yeah,
earthquake off the coast of...
I just butchered that.
Earthquake off the coast of Fukushima today, too.
Mm. Well, today in sports news, we learned the Celtics were one of the only teams seeing green last year. Nearly half of the NBA teams reportedly finished the 2016-2017 season with a negative balance sheet before some of those losses could be subsidized by the league's more successful franchises. The NBA was believed to be entering a new age of prosperity when Commissioner Adam Silver signed a 9-year, $24 billion television deal with ABC, ESPN, and Turner Broadcasting in 2014. But after the 2016-17 season, which was under the first new deal, 14 out of 30 NBA franchises still failed to turn a profit without revenue-sharing payouts, according to a scathing report by ESPN. Even after the revenue share... I know, right?
ESPN knows everything about not making money right now.
Right.
They're the experts on that. So when they talk, you listen.
Yeah. Even after the revenue sharing and luxury tax payments, two complex mechanisms by which profitable teams are forced to subsidize their expenses of the league's less fortunate franchises, they remained 9 teams still without money in 2016-2017. So this revenue and luxury taxes, these are two contentious issues that they talk about at all the meetings in the league, because it can move some teams into, you know, from the red into the black. Say Eastern Conference champions, Cleveland Cavaliers. They finished in the red last year, despite generating $21.7 million net income, because the team owned, they owed 15.2 in revenue sharing and a whopping 24.8 billion or million in luxury taxes.
How much of that money do they owe specifically to LeBron? Is the question. LeBron is personally bankrupting the NBA.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of questions come up. You know, what is, first question, if you think about the Celtics, if we were one of the teams, you'd say, you know, what does it mean if the team is losing money? Essentially, it means the team spent more in 1 year, whether it be on player contracts. You just used an example of LeBron acquiring these superstar
athletes. Got to pay money for that guy.
You know, team employees, salaries, cost, promotions, travels, so on and so on. That can easily add up quickly.
Here is your problem. And this is not a problem that is unique to the National Basketball Association. This exists in all major sports. Every year when these contracts are negotiated for superstar players, they expect to get more money, and we're not talking about a small amount more money, significantly more money than everybody else. So you talk about quarterback contracts that are $50 million, and then those are going to go up to 55, and then they're going to go up to 60, and they're going to go up to 65, and they're going to go up to 75. There is only so much fan money coming in. Fan money is a fixed pool. None of these sports are exactly expanding their footprint right now. Mm-hmm. Basketball has been on an upswing. Basketball has actually been building in more fans over the last few years, but not at a rate where you can keep having these player salaries go up and up and up and up and up. At some point in time, someone is going to have to say to these guys, there's no more, this is it. Like, the top value contract anybody is getting is $50 million.
Because, but this is where all this bargaining comes in between teams. So even if you are on the positive side, you're giving up millions of dollars to these other teams that aren't having it. So you're now having these teams in maybe less desirable cities either wanting to move. We've seen a big shuffle in the NFL and wanting to move teams. But, you know, essentially overall, yes, the NBA is doing fine. It is on an up and up. And even with the league's prosperity, you know, there's a huge gap between those teams that are really up there. Perfect example, the LA Lakers. They are one of the top teams that bring in money.
Yeah.
But they had a losing season last year. They don't have the superstars that they used to have.
Doesn't matter. The gangbangers still want their Laker jerseys.
Yeah. You know, and all while you have
something
not
a team.
The NFL, which is, you're probably going to disagree with me. I think they're stagnant in their growth, and you're
there's been maybe some minimal growth in the NHL, but yeah, they're pretty much against the wall. Baseball is contracting, NFL is contracting right now, largely because of what's going on with the Rams and the Chargers.
No, you just had that LA mayor, and like, you know what, actually we didn't want them at all.
Yeah,
you know, even in every market and the success of the NBA, you're still having something that is going to continue up, and they're not going to make any drastic changes. They're only going to be minor tweaks here and there. They're going to be this contentious arguments that happen at these owners' meetings and whatnot, but you're not going to see, even if your team's in the red, nobody's going to move.
But it's
all fine.
Right. Well, it's understood that, you know, if you're Boston, if you're Houston, if you're Chicago, if you're Los Angeles, you're going to have to help carry teams like Memphis and Cleveland and Oklahoma because there aren't enough people out there to generate the kind of money that you can generate in one of those big cities. You know, your fan base is smaller. And you make that trade-off so that you can build fans out in those areas. All that money goes into one big pool. Everybody benefits. You know, it's not a situation like what we had in the NFL at one point in time where the team that made the most money wins. And there was no revenue sharing. And, you know, some teams are sitting there with these, you know, same thing happened in baseball. Mm-hmm. Some teams are sitting there with these fabulous facilities, private jets, and, you know, back massages for all the players, while other teams are, you know, taking a bus
barely scraping by.
To get to their next road game.
You know, here's a suggestion. I think we should go back to when Shay and I were kids. Bring back the starter jackets. Bring back the bright color Charlotte Hornets. And yeah, we might be in business.
Okay, I had a Mighty Ducks starter jacket only because of the colors.
I had a Cowboys and the Hornets. Yeah. In food news, many angry festival goers gave a pizza their mind. I had to throw that pun in there. Organizers of the New York City Pizza Festival have agreed to refund all tickets after customer gripes overselling $75 tickets to get cold pizza slivers in a shady Brooklyn parking lot, which prompted State Attorney General's office to launch a formal investigation into the mess. Quote, after careful deliberation and much back and forth with our customers' best interests, we have agreed to refunding all tickets from the pizza and burger festivals, end quote, according to a Wednesday Facebook post by the New York City Pizza Festival's event page. Quote, thanks for your patience in helping us get to the bottom of this. We haven't made any direct statement to the press because we are resolving customer concerns was a priority and focusing on that first has been more important at this time. The New York City Pizza Festival, which took place in a parking lot in Bushwick Saturday, prompted as a day-long celebration of dough, cheese, tasty sauces, and delicious toppings. But people got instead cold, awful pizza that were smaller than sample size, as one person complained on Facebook. Quote, it was like the Fire Festival decided to throw a pizza party. End quote. Attendee Cornell Burke told Gothamist, referring to the heavily promoted disastrous music festival that landed its promoter in jail in New York earlier this summer. Yeah. So yeah, you had the Fire Festival pizza version in New York. And I have to say, I was invited to the Boston Pizza Festival. It was only the second year. And I was shocked because I've been to many first year events. And I was shocked how well organized it was. It could have been a little more spread out, but especially for City Hall Plaza, which maybe on a good day you're not falling in one of the holes where the bricks are missing, but for the most part it was.
Do not wear stilettos.
You would think the New York Pizza Festival maybe would step up their game a little bit.
Let me tell you something about New Yorkers.
Google this and see the samples of what people got. It's actually frightening.
Let me tell you something about New Yorkers. You could charge a New Yorker $75 for a cupcake. You could charge a New Yorker $75 for a watered-down martini. But boy damn, you charge them $75 for insufficient pizza, and it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the few sacred things that New Yorkers have, which is, I can get the best slice of pizza in the world for $2.50.
But it's like the one in Boston was, I think, $15, and then it was, you know, a couple dollars for each. But they were giving you
huge sizable portions.
But everything they do in Boston is run by that one company that's basically leasing City Hall Plaza and contracts and handles all this stuff.
That was an independent company.
Yeah, but they're hired through the other guys. The guys that set up the big Christmas market in City Hall Plaza. Whenever there's events there or there's events over by the lawn over in Southie, there's one company that has basically won the right to present all of those events. And they subcontract those things to other companies that they trust.
Mm-hmm.
This thing in New York was some guy on the internet, I'm going to have a pizza festival. That's what it was. I'm going to have a pizza festival. He's trying to get his own company off the ground and did not do well this time.
I just thought, fingers crossed, maybe this will work out.
Yeah.
Bushwick parking lot. Yeah. This has been fun.
Hey, you know, Bushwick's lovely.
I mean, the pictures, it literally is sliver, just tiny, no toppings on it.
Oh, dear.
I'd not be happy.
In technology news, trading halted today for stocks of Taiwan-based smartphone maker HTC, leading to speculation that a deal with Google will be announced tomorrow. HTC met with several companies as it weighed strategic options earlier this year, and Google emerged as a favorite to close a deal. No details are available on the nature of the deal, which could see Google buying all of HTC's smartphone manufacturing or just the company's Vive virtual reality system. HTC's market share has collapsed in recent years amid pressure from Apple and Samsung, dropping from nearly 11% of smartphone sales in the third quarter of 2011 to just 0.5% in the second quarter of 2017. So something will be announced.
Oh, you mean
by the time you wake up tomorrow morning as you're driving to work? Google just bought.
Yeah, shocking.
Google's going to buy one of two things. Google's either going to buy the smartphone division and get back into the business of making smartphones.
Oh, so
they
or
the entire universe.
Did they learn their lesson with the issues of Motorola?
No, apparently not. Because Motorola's back off doing their own thing now. Yeah. And Motorola's brought the Moto back with all these attachments, and they may be onto something. Or they're going to buy the virtual reality system. I think it's more likely that they're going to buy the phone manufacturer.
You think that's going to do well? The Motorola, the new commercials that are out with the attachments. And it looks, I mean, honestly, to me, it looks cheap. It looks like you have a basic, functional, fundamental phone, but then you have to add on, you know, all these, you know, $150.
It does all the things that you expect a smartphone to do. I mean, it certainly
is. It does everything my iPhone does without adding on an attachment.
No, but the attachments actually go way above and beyond the capability of any smartphone on the market.
So I don't know if people are going to buy it.
So if you're a serious photographer, like having an actual 35mm zoom lens is something you're never going to get on a smartphone. This doesn't have a full 35mm zoom lens, but it has a large zoom lens on it that's actually will let you take better pictures. The projector is a feature that's not available on any phone. So that you can start a video on your phone, project it on the wall, you know, 65 inches across, and have everybody watch it.
But I think you have a very small percentage of the market that has the desire to do those things. I know a lot of people that stay with Android because of the photo capabilities of it and will not switch to iPhone. That is one thing that I do miss about my Android. But I think that you have a very small percentage that are going to turn over and say, hey, I'm going to go to Motorola because I can get a zoom lens.
I think that's fair.
If you're trying to be quirky and fun and carve out your own niche in the space, which is what Motorola is doing, it's a good strategy.
Is it viable, though?
It might. I mean, I thought about getting one of them.
A Motorola?
Yeah, because I was like, I like that projector. That's cool.
It took you how long to get a smartphone?
I've had a smartphone for years. I had to get a new one, and I was looking at the Motorola.
Wait, do you mean one that doesn't flip open?
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean this little brick thing that
it
I carry around.
It took you forever
with me.
You've only had that for a couple years.
No.
True story.
No.
Yes.
No, I've had smartphones for like.
What do you consider smart? Because you were using them, do you consider them smart?
No, I've got full like app enabled, internet connected, like you know.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying touch screen, everything that.
Yeah, I've had years.
Really?
Yeah.
Because in the time I've known you, I feel like you've had the still like T9 capabilities.
No,
of
Zach
no.
Morris style.
I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you're getting that from. No, I'm in technology. I have to own technology.
I understand.
That's the way that goes. Okay, I am going to go over here and do this and pray that something works, even though it almost never does.
No one. There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather.
I'll tell you why there's no sun up in the sky. It's the damn hurricanes. The damn hurricanes will not leave us alone. So here's what we got, folks. Tropical, tropical, tropical weather. Humid, humid, humid. Not a lot of temperature variation. Tonight, cloudy wind. Wind advisory out until 8 a.m. Or no, excuse me, 6 a.m. Friday morning. A high wind advisory is up. 6 a.m. Friday morning. If you are going to the beach, don't. If you are going to the beach, watch out for rip currents. Do not go out into the water. Temperatures in the mid-60s tonight. Tomorrow, rain, wind, clouds, high of 70. Lows around 60 tomorrow night. Friday, rain, clouds, wind. High around 60, lows around 60. Temperature's not even going to move. Saturday, cloudy as some of this starts to pull away. Highs in the mid to upper 60s, lows around 60 degrees Saturday night. Sunday, if you're heading out to Gillette, first game of the season, second game of the season, on the first day game of the season, partly cloudy, very, very little chance of rain. No rain. It's going to be humid. Highs in the mid-70s, lows in the mid-60s on Sunday night. And then on Monday, partly cloudy, high around 80, lows in the mid-60s Monday night. Tuesday, the next tropical weather system may be coming here.
Oh, good.
Yeah, because the Maria I think, is the one that's been tormenting Puerto Rico, is now snaking its way in Irma's path.
Mm-hmm.
So, here we go again.
Yeah, I hope nobody, none of our listeners are going on a cruise anytime soon.
Yeah, had not enough. Yet. It's September. I'm tired of the tropical weather. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. When we come back, did you hear all of the other things that caught our attention this week here on WMFO Medford?
Any time is a good time for broiling thick, juicy steaks, indoors or out. What kind of steaks? Tenderloin, porterhouse, T-bone, sirloin, or rib steaks. They're all naturally tender and excellent for broiling in the top USDA quality grades, prime, choice, and good. Prime is the top grade, and choice is almost as high in quality. For more information, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, 20250.
This is the sound of salmonella gyrating on your undercooked chicken. And it looks like Mom might be taking it out a little early. Don't let salmonella get funky with your chicken. On average, 1 in 6 Americans will get a foodborne illness this year. So use a thermometer to cook each type of meat to the right temperature. Keep your family safe at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to WMFO 91.5 Medford. He's Derek Gary. I'm Lisa Nichols, and also here with Chase Blaine, here with you every Wednesday night, 7 to 9. As always, you can be a part of the show by calling us at 855-915-9636. Again, that's 855-915-WMFO. Time for Did You Hear, that part of the show where we all quiz each other on all those other stories that we didn't get at the top of the show to find out who was paying attention.
Not me.
No?
I was not paying attention this week. Hey, I've got reasons why I was not paying attention this week, but I...
Yeah, I actually had to pay attention this week a little bit more than I do.
Pretty vulnerable right here.
Normally.
So be gentle. And Shay is moving her car because, for some reason, there's no parking on Boston Avenue tonight.
It's so strange.
Anywhere.
I mean, no parking signs in Somerville?
No, but I mean anywhere. I've never seen this in 12 years.
Oh, even on the cross...
You can't.
Sex Street?
No, you can't park anywhere on Boston Avenue.
That's not a long street. That goes all the way into Davis.
Not down toward the overpass, not up toward the convenience store. There is no parking anywhere on Boston Avenue. If my car gets towed, I'm going to be very upset.
I was the smart one and parked in the lot.
If your car gets towed, you're going to be very upset. So
I'm in a visitor parking spot that says 2 hours.
I don't know where that came from.
It's brand new. Yeah. I just discovered it today.
We didn't have those last week. Anyway, kick us off.
I'm just going to throw you a softball. Toys R Us.
They are the world's bankruptest toy store.
They are.
After filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, that is the one where you reorganize, not the one where you shut everything down. No, they're not going out of business yet. They're going to get, I've heard varying reports that they're either going to get $2 billion or $3 billion to keep the shelves stocked during the holidays. And then come January, kids, all you Toys R Us kids, you may have to drive a little bit further to be a Toys R Us kid because it is widely expected that they are going to announce a lot of store closings and layoffs in early 2018.
Now, do you think it has obviously a lot to do with the popularity of online shopping, Amazon? I mean, I'm just going to give you my experience maybe a couple years ago. I got accosted by maybe 5 or 6 year old near the video game section. That actually happened. So the shopping experience inside Toys R Us is not as magical as it may seem.
How were you accosted by a 6 year old?
It had like a bat and was running up and down the aisle with it.
That's fun.
Oh, is it?
That's fun. That's the kind of fun.
You know when somebody kicks you in the back of the knee and you kind of fall over? That's what it felt like.
Let me ask you a question.
I mean, apparently this small child had the power of a very strong man.
Would you rather be attacked by a customer with a bat in a Toys R Us or in a Walmart?
Toys R Us.
Okay.
Because it's plastic and I can step on it.
It's part of the magic of shopping at Toys R Us.
Is it?
I don't think it's a problem with online shopping as much as it is a problem with Toys R Us being completely out of touch with the current times.
So they haven't changed their...
Those stores look exactly the same today as they did in the 1980s.
It's true.
They're too big. They're too disorganized. There's too much stuff. They're carrying too many lines that nobody is really that interested in.
You know what they remind me of?
They don't have a good online presence.
If we're going to use another store to kind of get a visual, Kmart.
Yeah.
Very similar. That whitewash never really changed. It's shelving. They're falling apart. Yeah. You don't know if the store is open or not because some lights are flickering. There's babies crying. Like, it's just a really sad scene.
Yeah.
And generally, when you go in, they don't have the product you need. You get a rain check, which you never end up getting. But I can agree with that. But I remember as a kid, like, you were so excited when you got that Christmas. All the other catalogs were like... pretty good. When you got the Christmas catalog, it was 3 inches thick. And, you know, you circled all the toys that you wanted. Unfortunately, I was a little brat, and I was just like, circle, 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 circle.
Yeah.
I got very organized with color tabs. I'm so sorry to my family.
In my day, it was the Sears Wish Book. That was the one that all the kids were like, give me the wish book. And as soon as it came out in September, you're like, give me the wish book.
Yeah.
Because it was, you just sit there and be like, hey, look at all the toys. Because the whole back half of the thing was toys. That's what it existed to do, was to sell toys to kids. And it was like, look at all the games. Look at all the Star Wars figures. And they always had exclusive things you couldn't get anywhere else. That was a happy time. That was one of the first great things in autumn. It's like, you go back to school and you'd be all bummed out. And then it's like, hey, this year's wish book is out. Yay. All right. Let me give you this one. Molly.
Molly, your wife?
Yeah, that'd be Molly, my wife. Yeah, Molly.
Or the drug.
No, Molly, my wife.
She was in the news?
She is.
Because it's her birthday.
It is Molly's birthday. She is old enough to run for president today.
Yeah. Let's just say she's 21 for the...
And I don't think she
14th
minds...
14th time?
I don't think she minds me saying that she's old enough to run for president because she loves the White House and presidential
but
history.
But on a positive, she doesn't look her age. So,
I have a little treat. And hopefully the wife is still listening. Because when she was a kid, her parents got her this cassette tape, and it's around somewhere. I don't know where it is. I've been looking for it. I can't find it. But I did find it on YouTube, because everything is on YouTube. So we're going to take a break here for a couple of minutes and send out very special birthday greetings to my wife, Molly.
This is Space Command to Zoom. All systems are go for your message to Molly.
Hey, Molly, it's your birthday. I'm in charge of the stars, and I'm here to say, hey, Molly, you're the big star today. My name is Zoom, and I live on the moon, but I came down to Earth just to sing you this tune. 'Cause, Molly, it's your birthday today. A present for you I wanted to find. An outer space creature, a one of a kind. A wild womp, or a cuckoo-choo. A snaffle crop, or a buzzer snoo. Or maybe a three-eyed tickle shay. For your birthday. Did you ask?
What's a cuckoo-choo?
Well, up on the moon, it's nothing new. But that won't do for you on your birthday. I searched behind the clouds and stars. I even zoomed my bike to Mars and met my friend, the saucer man, and he said,
"Hey, Zoom, I got the bestest plan. What your friend needs is something new. So how about a song just from you?
And so tonight, when you're in bed, I'll be singing to you as I zoom overhead. Singing Molly,
happy birthday.
Singing Molly,
happy birthday.
Singing Molly,
happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, Molly. See you next year."
Happy birthday to Molly. We'll see her later tonight.
That was a great song.
That is a great song.
Yeah. See, I just had The Simpsons. Hey, Lisa, it's your birthday. Yeah.
Lisa, that's it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Lisa.
Much better song.
It is a much better song. It was a company. I don't know if they're still doing it or not, but you send them money and they would send you a cassette personalized to your child's name. And they had hundreds of them.
Now, did you give her present yet?
No.
It's good, Molly.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that.
It's really good.
I mean, I gave her a present, but not the present.
Yeah. All right. We're back to the normal stuff. I get a point for that.
Yes,
I say.
You do. You get it right.
All right. U.S. tourism.
It's a great thing. Everybody loves it. Countries can't get enough of Americans showing up, getting drunk, and throwing up all over their national treasures.
True.
U.S. tourism is down.
It is.
But 15%?
So overall, 697,791,000 fewer foreigners visited the United States in the first 3 months of the year, down 4.2%.
Oh, I thought it was more than that.
To 15.8 million.
Okay.
So.
That's where I got
it. That's, yeah, the number drastically. So it's down overall 14.3%. Where you get your 15.
Is it possible that people just don't want to come to Trump land? Is that what's going on here? Come on.
Could be. So these new figures were released by the U.S. Department of Commerce to show the drop in international visitors to the United States in the first quarter of 2017 compared to previous years. European countries were down 10.1%. I would attribute that to terrorism.
Yeah, that's ISIS.
But even with all of ISIS going on, more people are still going to Europe than the United States.
So
let's just say that. Mexico was off 0.71%. Cartels, I would think that was it. And
well, then they had the fake booze scandal, too, which didn't help matters.
True. Largest drops were from the Middle East and Africa, I would assume, also attributed to the unrest in the Middle East and Africa. There's the Boko Haram, all that.
So for those of you keeping score at home,
everybody go to Asia.
And wondering what's bad for tourism and what's the worst thing for tourism. Donald Trump is worse for tourism than ISIS.
It's true.
Donald Trump is worse for tourism than ISIS.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you know what? It's fine for me because I don't want a bunch of foreigners hanging around here taking our parking spaces.
This is true.
There's parking downtown. There hasn't been parking downtown in years. You know why? No tourism.
That's why I just disappeared. I had to move my car.
You don't park on Boston Avenue, but
because
downtown.
Of no tourism.
You can go park anywhere you want in downtown Boston right now. It is WMFO Medford. Shay, your turn.
I sent you mine. Did any of them come up?
Yeah, well, no.
Okay.
Because we talked about Molly, Toys R Us, and
it's Molly's birthday.
It is Molly's birthday. Happy birthday, Molly. Happy birthday, Molly. Skin.
I have some.
Skin.
We need more than that.
Pretend skin.
Fake skin.
Fake skin. Is this about those sex robots? I'm all excited about the sex robots.
It's actually not about, well, I guess it could be a little bit about sex robots.